You know how stupid I am with technology? Specifically, I mean, I'm stupid on a lot of shit, but technology?
Yeah.
It is ridiculous how dumb I am.
Let me say this. Because I hate the words. I hate that. I know we're not on yet, but I like to have a no, close even before.
We do it.
This is why I hate the... I know you say I hate stupid about technology. It's like, no, anything you look at, you'll get. But it's not a fucking priority. And I don't want it to be a priority.
Yeah.
I'm just saying, I don't want to get good at that shit. Because it just takes too much time now. I'd rather pay somebody. I'd rather say, here, you do this.
But I feel like...
I don't want
that skill. Counter-argument.
Argue it.
A little devil's advocate. I feel like that's what we're doing with everything. So now we're not good at anything.
Yes.
Like, we're just like, they're making like task rabbits and all that stuff where you go like, oh, can you assemble this for me?
Mm-hmm.
You know?
Mm-hmm.
And then you're like, oh, will you...
You pack my wife for me?
Yeah.
I can't get that done.
I mean, we're close to there. We're close to there.
Can't even make my wife come.
Yeah. Dude, listen, man, I'm tired. I got a long day. Just I'm gonna pay you some money. You come in.
Yeah. But to what you're
don't
saying...
Don't come in her.
I don't mind. I don't mind if she likes it. Yeah. No, but to that point, though, is that I started getting really good at so many different things. And when I put out my last special, I went... Or I'll say this, like, I'm proud of it.
Yeah.
I'm proud of it.
Sure.
But I watched it and I went... It's the first time I've ever been able to watch something and go, hey, I'm proud of this. But I did see, I was like, I know how to make it better.
Yeah.
And I can make it better by not learning how to use technology, not... spending all my time on other bullshit.
You mean writing jokes and spending doing stand-up.
More time, like, definitely being like, yeah, like, just, if I give 100% into one thing.
I am under the mindset of, I enjoy doing this podcast,
mm-hmm.
but it serves as a purpose to promote my gigs.
Mm-hmm.
Once I can get a large enough audience where I can just do stand-up, that is all I want to do.
Yeah.
I love this. Thank you for watching. I appreciate it.
Yeah.
Shout out all the sponsors for buying Myrtle her food. But I think we're at a time now where everyone is, and I'm speaking about myself too, oversaturated,
mm-hmm.
where people can watch too much of you and it takes the effect away of doing one thing.
Right.
You know, like musicians, they get to go do music and then tour.
Mm-hmm.
And you're like, I'm very jealous of that. I would love to go make an album mm-hmm. and then just go tour with it. And that's what you see. It's, you know, where I started to realize how people feel about comedians mm-hmm. is I started feeling this way with athletes. I started feeling like too many athletes have podcasts.
Mm-hmm.
It was great when one athlete had a podcast, but now you're like, all right.
Right.
Like, all right. The media covers you guys. There's coverage of you.
Lil Wayne has a podcast.
No, he doesn't.
He does. And how do I not even know that Lil Wayne has a podcast? That's how many fucking podcasts there are.
You're telling me Lil Weezy's got a podcast?
Yeah.
Yeah, I want to stop right now and do a little read about Sherry's Berries. I love Sherry Berries, and they are quite contrary.
He's just like fucking ripping a verse.
Yeah.
He's the greatest rapper alive, but
wait, are you a Lil Wayne fan?
Huge Lil Wayne.
I just got into Lil Wayne 3 days ago.
Listen, sign up for the subreddit. Get on there as two whites.
Yeah.
You can't be loud about it.
All right.
But let Tanucci cook. I'm excited for the Carter Six.
Dude, I was, because I like.
That's the whitest shit I've ever said. Yeah, dude.
I'm a very specific rap taste.
Yeah.
Very into very specific rap.
We look like two guys that work at a record label.
Yeah.
We look like we're like, and let me tell you right now, the streets are saying this is fresh.
But I'm not shitty about music. I'm not like pretentious. I just go.
What you like, and then you get into it.
I like what I like, but I always say there might be a time where I'll like the thing you like. Like sometimes I'll listen to Creed because sometimes wrestling in the '90s made me love Creed.
Dude, I absolutely understand that.
You know what I mean?
I think there's a moment to listen to Korn.
Yes, absolutely.
I play Rocket League, and Korn's Blinds come yeah. on. And it's wanting to make me run through a wall.
Yeah, dude.
I'm excited. I think what's interesting is like there's so much music out there. It's going to be interesting to watch rock and roll, rock,
mm-hmm.
get cool again. Because
right.
it's out.
Right.
Like young people are like, fuck rock. I don't listen to rock. But you're like, there's still great rock music being made. It's just not popular.
Where? I need good
Queens of the Stone Age's album, and you know I'm always going to pump them.
Sure, pump it, baby.
Times New Roman.
Pump it and pump me.
Is unbelievable. And mm-hmm. Times New Roman's like one of the best
really?
Albums. Right. And I'm obviously I'm partial.
Right.
They're my favorite band of all time. But there's like a lot of... TikTok does do that with music.
Yeah.
I think what's opposite about comedy on TikTok is like some people on some people's comedy pops on TikTok and you're like, well, they're new. They don't really have a lot. But some bands pop and you're like, well, that's great for them because now they can sell tickets.
Well, I'll tell you this. This Kendrick Lamar, I don't follow mainstream rap a lot.
Yeah.
But Anthony got me into...
Everyone started breaking it down.
Drake and Kendrick Lamar.
That's such a crossover event. That is kind of like, that's like when there's a massive boxing match.
Yeah, yeah.
And people get into it. Uh-huh. And then boxing fans are a little resentful because you're like, well, there's a lot. Like, Jake Paul versus Mike Tyson is very cool. Mm-hmm. But there's a lot better boxing going on.
It's the same thing with comedy. It's the same thing with everything.
Yeah, comedy.
You know, this headline, you know.
It's funny how gay we get about comedy where you're like, you didn't even know about Dave Attell or Colin Quinn. Right. You knew about, but it's like,
who gives a shit? But they're the magnets. They bring the other people in. I always said that we wouldn't have Louis if we didn't have Dane Cook. And people shit on Dane Cook.
That's a good point. I mean, well.
Dane Cook brought a lot of people in.
I think we would have Louis. I just don't think we would have Louis the way we know him.
I think Dane brought a lot of comedy fans in, and then they went, I want more. I don't want to say better, but I want different. And then they were like, oh, and then Louis kind of happened because Louis was like that purest version of comedy.
Well, also they were going like, Dane stole from Louis.
Yeah, I didn't want to.
It always sucks when I get the hiccups on this podcast. That's like when my dog gets too excited.
Oh, right, but this, sorry.
No.
The ADHD will pop me back on things, but the Kendrick Lamar Drake thing, Anthony got me into it, and I was starting to be like, man, I do kind of want to shit on comedians I don't respect. And I don't think I'll ever be that, but I wish we had a fucking...
We do, roast battling.
Nah, but roast battling is fucking bullshit. Sorry.
Oh, you just want to openly talk shit.
I just
want to
come up and be like, guys, this shit is fake. Fuck this guy. Start a fight with this 100 million TikTok guy.
But I think the better way to do that is just go get better at something. Yeah, I think there's a lot to be said about like when you see something you don't like.
It's a right answer.
But I don't know. I just came from a therapy session, so I'm coming in real balance. But like, take for instance,
some real dad shit right there.
You're a huge comic book guy.
Yeah,
I would go to you about comics the way you would come to me about wrestling. Mm-hmm. Like, there's just like we're both true fans of it.
Sure.
Like, there's a fandom, but Marvel movies, while you enjoy them, brought in a lot of people that didn't give a shit about comics.
Right.
They didn't know that Civil War, that's not the real Civil War story.
Right.
That they don't know about Planet Hulk. Mm-hmm. But then they watch Thor and they go, oh, Hulk's like he's like a gladiator. And you go, you should read Planet Hulk.
And he has a son. And you just slide him over a little trade paperback.
That's
go,
what
check
it is.
That shit out.
That's what it is. And I think as anybody and anything needs to realize that you might not like how people hear about it, but if they get to you, that's the benefit.
Sure.
Like X-Men 97 is a great thing that if you're a fan of comics, it's great matter what. Mm-hmm. And it's getting people into it that maybe haven't watched or cared about Marvel or the X-Men since 97, since it was on Fox.
And it's getting them to see, for me, it's like, it's all about comic book movies and getting as close to comic books as possible.
Sure.
Because comic book movies were always so like, oh, do a 10% comic book movie.
Yeah.
And now we're getting closer to 70, 80. It's like that blue meth.
Yeah.
Like, and 97 was like Heisenberg fucking meth. I was like, yo, this is kind of what we wanted.
The whole time. And what's great about that is, spoiler alert, if you have not watched X-Men 97, skip ahead a minute. Mm-hmm. And there will be no spoilers, I promise you.
I'm going to wait a minute and then be like, Wolverine died.
At the end of episode 9, Magneto tearing the skeleton out of Wolverine is something that was such an iconic moment for comic book fans that when they put that in the show, welcome back.
Yeah.
You were like, I didn't know they were going to do that.
Right. Now I know where they're going.
I didn't know they were going to do that. And that was like a very cool moment.
Right. I skipped 2 seconds real quick, but like, I know he doesn't die there, but there are a lot of people who are like, is Wolverine dead? I'm like, no, they ripped the metal out. Now he's going to have bone claws.
And at the end of, which leads to Old Man Logan. Right, and we really like it. There's a lot of good shit.
Right.
I think people just expect, people want, everything is so curtailed to the consumer now that everybody wants it their way, the step of the way, where you go, sometimes it's off the way you want it, but it lands where you wanted it.
Right.
So you just got to be cool with that. So this guy, these TikTok people that you want to talk shit about, you might hate them, but they might end up on you because of that guy.
Right.
Like Louis probably hated that, went through going through the Dane stealing jokes thing.
Right.
But then he's a god. He's on Mount Rushmore.
But I don't hate the TikTok guys for being the TikTok guys. There's a specific TikTok guy who kind of stole an idea I had. Like, I watched him steal the idea. Like, I talked about this idea I had, and I watched him go, and then he did it on his podcast. And then I went, hilarious that you're doing this thing as a podcast.
And you know him.
And I know him, and I watched him go, oh, that's a great idea. And then he asked me to do the podcast as a way of kind of being like, oh, like, you're part of this, but then I couldn't do it. And I'm like, oh, that was your way. You've never talked to me. Now you asked me to do this, and you ripped the idea from me, so now I want to...
I mean, everyone watching, and myself included, wants names. Now I want to... I should have been more supportive of the Kendrick Drake idea. I gotta put her on wax, dude. Put him on wax.
And it's not even a big deal, but then I was on a road trip, and someone was like, oh, no, that guy's like notorious for stealing ideas, and I didn't know. And it's like he's like an all-business guy.
Bleep the name and I'll bleep the name and say it right now to me. You can even.
And then he did that on his podcast and I was like,
he went and
he just did like a five episode. I don't know. I didn't listen to it. So that's why I'm feeling a little shitty. Cause maybe he didn't do it, but I'm like 99% sure someone told me, he's like, oh no, he did that on his podcast. And he asked me to be on it. And I'm pretty sure that's why. But it was just like him talking to people about,
that would make me, right. Oh man,
this is why I want to Kendrick Lamar him.
Yeah.
But,
yeah, dude.
Yeah, but I'll just get better at comedy.
Am I your future? Who am I? I'm trying to think who I am in this beef. I go,
can
well,
you just be my little Wayne?
Yeah.
I don't care if he's not even involved.
Well, no, he didn't fuck my girl, and if he did, I'll kill him. he'll gonna have to get a tattoo on his arm, and I'll fucking murder him.
Let me tell you this. Someone fucks my girl. Lil Wayne fucks my girl. My girl doesn't leave. She stays with me. Round of applause. Well, you got to fuck Lil Wayne? That's very exciting.
You go, what's he like?
Right. Why are we worried
Does
about...
Does he fall asleep on lean all the time?
Why
She's
are
like,
we...
Wayne, do you think he's like...
He's just wheezing. He wheezes more than you and you're an asthmatic.
Yeah.
Why are we worried about... Right? I've been getting into this a lot lately about like cheating, right? Like, why am I worried about somebody...
Is your wife cheating on you?
I would love for her to cheat on me.
Why?
Because her vagina is sewed shut. And just for someone to cut that thing open for me.
Oh,
no, I'm kidding. I just think about it a lot. Well, we went through a hard time.
Sure.
We had two kids and we had a hard time for a while with the stuff and we worked on it and it got better. But when it was happening, like you sit like cheat. I have a cheater's brain. I'll say this. I'm a cheater. I do not cheat, but I have a cheater's brain.
Walk me there.
Walk you there. Every woman I walk by, I go, I want to let me have it.
Those glasses do not help you with this.
I intentionally think I'm getting uglier on purpose to keep myself, to keep women away from me.
Yeah, just as long as you're not collecting them. I don't need this to be played in a documentary. No, where I'm like, who am I to you? And it's like, who was he to Greg Stone?
I will say this. I don't like, I got these glasses because my contacts ripped and sure. It was $60, 60 minutes and I got these. But I also the same day decided I'm going to wear Hawaiian shirts for the rest of my life. I think it was too much at one time.
Yeah, it is. You became a character.
It became a thing too quick.
You became a character. You got the glasses. Ease in.
Right. So the glasses
might go. Hawaiian shirt once a week.
No. Can I explain the Hawaiian shirt thing though?
Yeah, absolutely.
And
that's why you're here.
I'm a little high, so I hope that's okay.
That's great. That's great. My return to weed is less than 2 weeks away.
Yeah, I know you were taking a break, but
I'm coming back, baby.
I don't. Can you play a theme song before you do? I don't know. On the stage.
You're gonna hear that glass break. I might play Cypress Hill.
I want to get high.
I shout out to Yancey, who Yancey Glass. I think that's what he goes by.
Yancey Glass is a name.
Yeah, dude. He makes pipes. He made this Macho Man pipe for me. I'll show you.
I don't
know if I want to give his legal name. Can you grab that Macho Man pipe? So
it's Rick Penishead. What?
Nah, dude. It's fucking insane. How cool is this?
Wow.
Matthew cool. Yount is his name. Yount?
That is very cool.
He made this for me, and he does these incredible. He does these incredible, Matt Yount, but his name is at Fancy Ancy Glass, and he does like cool glass work. But he made me this, which is like, it's a deep barrel, so it fucks you up.
That's awesome.
So I'm not going to come back with this, but then he made Katie a Katie pipe.
Yeah.
That's Bruins colors, and the thumb is a Myrtle head. Wow. I'll show it on the podcast later. But that's my last weekend of being sober.
Mm-hmm.
So I fly home that Sunday, and Katie and I are going to get high for the first time in like I've been high in 2.5 months.
Oh,
and you can just set it back down over there. But I'm going to I'm excited for that.
That is exciting.
I'm excited to get like scared.
I would like two things. I want to see him make a pipe that's like that you and Katie can do. You know, when you like take a glass of wine and around each other, like
a lover's pipe,
a lover's pipe that connects.
Yeah, Matt, can you make a lover's pipe? Hello, lover, and then you just like light it on the top.
Yes, yeah, so, you know, that's connected. A lover's pipe. And this, I guess, I do want to. This, this might be depressing, but the reason I wear Hawaiian shirts is I've been so fucking depressed. Not depressed isn't the right word. Fear of death.
Because of your kids?
Yes.
Because you're afraid you're going to leave them?
No, I think I'm afraid that, I'm afraid that I'll. Well, they happen, and then all of a sudden you understand. So here's the thing about kids, and I hate to use this analogy, but it's too perfect.
Sure.
It's the Matrix. So when you, it is, you take the pill, and then you see what the real world is.
Sure.
But the real world is fucking horrible.
Yeah.
But it tastes real.
Yeah.
So now all of a sudden I have these kids, and it's like, I'm afraid of everything. And sure. Death is coming, and I used to live in this world with the woman with the red dress.
Yeah.
And I love it. I love having a kid because it's like, it's a real fucking experience, but I'm fucking horrified of everything. It's like your testicles are just out.
Yeah. I mean, I guess here's the thing. I don't have kids, so it makes sense.
Say testicles.
So I'm cutting my steak right now in the Matrix, and I go, steak tastes real to me.
And you'll never, and that's the same, it's why it's like the Matrix. You'll never know what that is.
Keep the tubes in me, baby.
It's great. It's like, I want, and that's why I think
but leaving. I'll never know Kung Fu.
And I think Cypher in that movie essentially just left his children. He took the pill and he went, I'm leaving my family. I'm going back. Yeah. And went right back in the Matrix.
Yeah.
I'm going back to the steak. Yeah, but I mean, I love having kids, but it's just a reality that I'm like, man, I'm not good enough. I'm not a good enough dad. I'm not a good enough provider. I'm not anything.
I bet a lot of people feel that way, though. I bet that is very common for people to feel that way. People that are in touch with their feelings, I bet it's fucking scary.
And that's why
I would be terrified. I know for a fact I'd be terrified if I had kids.
Exactly. But that's why dads wear Hawaiian shirts. Because they look down, they go, there's the vacation.
Yeah.
There it is.
There's the beach.
That shit right there. That's for 2 seconds, I go, here we
but
are.
I would offer, I hope this provides comfort in any way, but sure. Like, as someone whose parent has died, they'll be motivated.
Yeah.
It's not all bad.
Right.
They're motivated. They get motivated.
But it's not about, I know they'll be good, but I want to, I don't know. Yeah, it's a very good point. I know they'll be fine.
I'm gonna ask you a real question.
Yeah.
That isn't so sad.
Ask me everything.
In the age of podcasting, are you worried your boys are gonna watch this someday and go like, all right, Dad, you're a little too high on that podcast.
So here's a movie I definitely at some point should write. I'll just give it on the podcast.
I wouldn't. You already got something stolen from you from talking about it.
I don't care.
A phenomenal idea and it got ripped from your hands. Maybe hold on to that idea. Or don't give away the whole thing.
No, well, the devil isn't in the idea. The devil is in the writing. And I think I could write the heart in it. And the reality of the basis of the idea is. And also, if a movie comes out, then we could talk about this podcast about how they took it from me from here.
Timestamp
this baby. This is all rights reserved.
Timestamp this shit, pimp. I'm trying to argue against him.
Should I not tell it?
I feel like one of Evel Knievel's friends where he goes, yeah, I know I broke all my bones in the Snake River, but I'm going to jump the canyon. And you go, I don't think you should do that again. 28 buses is a lot.
It could be. I know you'll fucking do it. It's a TV show. I mean, it could be a TV show.
Is it a TV show? Is it a movie? I like this. Throw a little mystery around it.
Yeah, it could be anything.
It could be a one-act play.
But it's definitely a real life thing that's going to happen to me.
What?
Is that when my kid dies, he's going to want to know me, and all he'll have is the Rad Dude Cast. When I die.
Yeah.
I had this idea.
What about Late Night Greg? What about all the, what about all your sexy stuff?
Friday Night Greg, Friday Night Energy Wednesday morning. He's going to have that. He'll have Night Cream where it's just.
Night Cream. That's what I was thinking of.
Night Cream is stupid. But that's the thing. It's like to want to get to know his, remember the movie My World with Michael Keaton?
Absolutely. Dude, you're talking to someone whose dad died who I didn't know him that well. I grasp onto sports because that's the only thing we shared.
And imagine all you had of him was his episodes of the Real Ass Podcast.
Great. I would be able to hear his voice. I don't have anything.
Right.
I don't know what he sounded like.
So I've kind of come to terms with that's kind of what's going to happen.
Yeah, you're my life-ing it.
Yeah, my life again. I'm kind of cracking the fucking spaghetti and be like, this is how you make pasta. Yeah. But this is how you make a joke that's kind of racist.
If you have a dead father and you didn't know them, that movie is like eating a Carolina Reaper pepper. It just, it makes you cry and it hurts more than anything.
Oh.
You don't get any comfort out of that movie.
I'm sorry. Because
you go like, oh yeah, my dad did none of that. I got a letter about him being pussy whipped that we read on the Racine episode. That's all I got. I don't know, I got pictures. Pictures don't talk. I think it's kind of cool that he has podcasts. I think that's like, that is one of the benefits. If something were to happen to you, he could watch and know that you're a silly goose that gives away ideas.
And you know, I mean, sorry.
Hey, everybody. I'm on the road, as I always am. But come and check me out. September 13th, doing a very fun show. I'm going to be in St. Louis with Jim Jefferies. Mark Norman and I are going to be with him in St. Louis. And September 14th, the following night in Atlanta, Mark Norman and I are going to be with Jim Jefferies. So go get tickets to those at dansoder.com. And then September 15th, the Great Outdoor Festival. If you're Canadian, you know about this. It's a fucking awesome festival. I did it last year in Calgary. This year, me, Mark Norman, Ralph Barbosa, Andrew Santino, all in Vancouver, September 15th. Vancouver, get tickets now. You can go to dansoder.com. The link's right here and check it out. October 10th through the 12th, I'm going to be at the Houston Improv. So go get tickets for that at dansoder.com. And then get tickets for October. If you live in Salt Lake City, I'm coming back to Wise Guys. October 17th through the 19th, dansoder.com. I'm on the road always. Just go to dansoder.com. Maybe go sign up at punchup.live. And then we can know where you are. And then we'll send you an email that goes, hey, I'm coming to your town. And if you sign up for the raffle, there's a chance you might get a Krusty card signed by me. Maybe a sticker or two. I don't know. We might do another round of those. But go to punchup.live and go to my page, Dan Soder. Sign up today to find out when I'm coming to your town. Goodbye.
Anthony's, you know, the story of Anthony's dad.
Yeah, Anthony DeVito, who has an incredible one-man show.
Yeah.
Is it, what's it called? My dad's not
Danny DeVito.
My dad's not Danny DeVito.
Right.
And he does an entire hour about how he found out his father was in the mafia and murdered.
Oh, I think you're lightening it. His dad one of the most prolific murderers.
He was a hitman?
He was a hitman who the Gambino family, I believe, noted as too crazy.
I lived next to Anthony for 7 years. Yeah. He lived directly next door to Vecchione and I. The son of a cold-blooded killer.
Cold-blooded.
Wait, really?
And every now and again, you see the twinkle in his eye, and you go, calm down, brother.
Time to get into the family business. How cool would that be? Because you and Anthony have been best friends the entire time I've known both of you guys.
Yeah, well, since high school.
Since high school.
Right.
All the way back. How's Taco?
Taco!
How's Taco doing? Oh,
man, I forgot that sometimes people know Taco. He's the best.
We stopped by and met Taco at his house.
Physics teacher in D.C.
Yeah, he's great. Well, he was living in Connecticut when we met up with him.
Yes, yes.
In New Haven, I think.
Yes, yes. Jesus, you have a good memory.
Well, we had a great weekend. We used to go do Foxwoods Casino.
Oh, my God.
And it would be me, Anthony, and Greg. And we went and saw The Rock in Hercules. And then we were driving through a small town.
Oh, my God, we did.
And we found a Nintendo 64. And we bought No Mercy, Mario Tennis, GoldenEye, all the hits. And we sat in that hotel room for 4 days and played. We'd only leave to go do shows, but we created wrestlers. You had Hunk Finn.
Hunk Finn?
No, Finn was Anthony DeVito.
Yeah.
He made Hunk Finn. You made Dr. Death.
Maybe Mr. Insanity?
Mr. Insanity. And then I created the Gator.
The Gator.
And we would sit in this hotel room and play. So the fact that Anthony's father was like this hitman, he's up in heaven going, Mama, look at my fucking kid. He's a window licker. I killed the fucking best of the best. And I got this kid playing fucking video games. He's playing with boys.
Yeah. No.
So you've known him a long time.
Yeah.
How cool would it be knowing someone that if you opened a closet and it was like the scene in John Wick where it's all guns and stuff. And Anthony is like, I can help you, Greg, but you're not going to like who I become.
And that's the movie. Something happens to my kid.
Yeah.
And I knock on Anthony's door and he goes, Now's the time.
I've been training. My father didn't die. He's been secretly training me.
He's me. Whoa.
Hey, you look great for how old you are.
His dad was a hitman. His dad fucking, yeah,
murdered. And got murdered.
And got, they got him.
Live by the sword, die by the sword.
They got him. Yeah. And now, and Anthony, like, didn't really know him. And he told me that. So there was like years where I was one of the only people on the planet who knew that.
When did you find this out? Because Anthony started doing the show around 2021, 2022.
Oh, like 2003, 2001.
Really?
Yeah.
How did he tell you that his father was a hitman? How do you break it to your friend? It's like telling your friend your dad's gay, but in a way cooler way. Nothing against gay people. I'm just saying, like, I'd much rather find out my dad's friend's a hitman than, you know, like a power bottom. He's like, my dad can take cock versus like, and my dad eliminates people.
He told me, I remember when he told me, because people will tell you there are like deeper things after sex. And we were just
beautiful. Beautiful.
No, it's fucked up.
I'm stealing it. I'm doing it on my podcast.
No, he just told me, and I remember being like, what the fuck?
But were you guys like high, drunk? Were you just in a car?
No, we didn't drink. Both of us, I think I both didn't drink till very, very late.
Okay.
In time. We were just best friends. We became like, we had like a very weird friendship that's like, we were like really, he's like I love my brother. I mean, but he is just like a brother.
Yeah.
And it's very weird to be like, I have a real brother and I have two brothers.
Yeah. And Anthony's.
Yeah.
So how does he reveal it?
I don't remember. That's what's fucked up. I don't remember.
It's like over burgers? Is it like, or is he just like sitting there playing video games? You're like, hey, my dad killed a bunch of people.
I remember where we were. We were driving. So we used to do this thing. We used to do all, I think I used to do weird shit all the time.
That's what friends do.
And one of the things he did with his friends, but then he brought me in, was Sex Patrol, where we would drive around this park in Bloomfield and then look for people having sex and then flash them, and we would bing bells and we'd go, sex, you know, run around Sex Patrol, you know?
You know what? There's a time bullshit in my life where I would have found that hilarious, and there's a time in my life that I would have thought you were a true villain.
Yeah. Absolutely.
If you're fucking in a car, you have to, it's like a heist. You have to pull off so many things to get sex in a car.
We were the guy who had the gun who wasn't a cop in the back.
Yeah.
You know, it's like, dude, this could have went easy.
It could have gone so easy, and you pulled the gun out, and now everyone's dying.
Everyone's dead.
So you guys were driving. So were you guys doing Sex Patrol?
I think we were doing something, some funny shtick thing, and we were talking about his dad and the car accident, because he told me his dad was in a car accident. And I was
great coverage.
Yeah.
Great coverage.
Yeah, two cars to the back of the head.
Damn.
Yeah.
Couldn't have an open casket.
I don't know how he died. That's possible. I feel weird talking about this, but it is his story. You should have him on the podcast.
I would love to. I would absolutely love to have Anthony.
Way more. But he told me, and I remember being like, what the fuck? But then you also see why he is the way he is, right? Like, he's a polar opposite of who that is. Because
a lot of mafia, I always say this, a lot of mafia kids do that. When you have a mafia kid, you tend to get an artistic, soft, sweet.
Right.
You know, you don't get, sometimes they get like hardcore guys that go in the family business, and that's great.
My dad was an alcoholic, so I didn't drink till I was 30, right? Imagine if your dad is a killer.
Yeah.
You may become a guy who loves basketball, grows a beard, and gets into art.
Yeah.
You either just stay away from as much.
Yeah, or you become like a vet.
Yeah, like,
I gotta save soft, sweet things.
yeah. So he's like, you know, he's whatever.
But that's just a weird, from strictly from your perspective, that changes the way you look at your friend immediately.
No, I mean,
I had such a cool dad. I'm so mad that I didn't find out. I always, when I was little, I always wanted my dad to be like, you know, he's like SFPD, one of the best murder detectives in the. And he wasn't. He was just a bartender.
But
in
I don't.
Bowling alley.
Not to sound shitty, but like, I don't know. I think you find out your dad is a killer, you're not like, that's cool.
Part of you is. Part of you has to be.
I think from afar, but I think if it's really you.
I mean, I think you're right. And you know? We're going to have to talk to Anthony about this. But I think there is a moral pull where you go like,
right,
fuck.
Right.
Now, here's my question. Now that, because you're a sweet, silly boy, one of your sons becomes a cold-blooded killer?
He's going, look at this. Here's, let me flip this on you. My kid finds out that I fucked a bunch of bins during COVID. Yeah, I had a flashlight. I shoved it in there. It was a whole thing.
Wait, really?
I was.
You made a fake lady?
Yeah, I had a VR.
You were doing VR?
So during COVID, I was going through a sexual issue. We had a little bit of a sexual issue, and so I was like, "Fuck!" I masturbate like this.
Yeah.
No.
Well, don't poo poo. Don't poo poo a century old technique.
No, take your pants off. Show some respect.
Oh, you're just going through the zipper?
No, but like you put your pants to your ankles.
Sure. If you're in a rush.
That's what I'm saying. I don't think men respect the jerk. I say light a candle.
You romanticize it.
I don't romanticize it. I got VR goggles. I had a fleshlight that I got from Lisa Ann during a comedy show. And I'll never use that thing.
Do you feel a kinship with her now that you've had sex with that?
It's kind of weird.
That fleshlight so much? your progress. I know how you feel.
Right.
But that's, so you have a fleshlight.
So I had the fleshlight.
You have a VR.
I had the VR. And then I shoved it in between two bins. Two like action figure bins. I have my action figures. So I shoved it in between there. The weight was good. Should I not be telling the story?
Yeah, I love it. I just want to let you know, Homeless Poop and I have done probably 20, 25 episodes.
Yeah.
I've never heard him go, like you just did. Boy. He went, all right. So your bins, are you on top of the bins?
No. The bins, you know, you're in the, you know, they're upright.
Sure.
And then
you put the VR on. The bins are up. So you're going from the side.
You're going from the side.
You're not coming down in.
No, I don't.
You're going sideways.
I'm going sideways.
So you push the bins.
Yes.
Are you on your knees on the ground?
Standing, full stand.
How big are these bins?
Dude, I got a lot of figures.
Nice.
So here's the thing. Shout out
Figure Life.
I should explain also, there's so much more to this. So, all right. People, I've talked about this before, but I do a thing called the
ultimate. Not here. Not now. Go on with your fucking, your Kama Sutra.
I do a thing called the ultimate pleasure, which every year on my birthday, I will masturbate in a way that is better than I've ever done before.
Wait, so you try to one-up your jerk every year on your birthday?
Every year.
This glasses and that Hawaiian shirt are not helping this
conversation. I know, I should take them off. Every year, and I'll masturbate to something in a way I haven't or to something I never have before. So you
break new ground.
Break new ground.
It's a new year, new ground.
New year, new gay.
So when did VR come in?
So I will say that we did, there was a year where we jumped a bunch of steps. And so it was, I had the thing, I had the thing.
You had the fleshlight, you have the VR.
And the VR, same year. Bins, same year. I went,
VR and fleshlight all the same year?
Yeah, I went, this is all going to be.
That's like masturbation puberty. you came a boy and entered a man.
I went out.
That new year.
But it was also COVID. So, you know, I was masturbating.
So how do you get the privacy to do this?
What I do is I take a dog bone and I throw it out the window and my wife will run for it.
Oh, that's fun.
Yeah. That's fun. Then I wait till she gets back.
Do you wait till she's like gone?
She was away. She was away. She was okay. Sleeping or anything. So okay. She was like away or something. And she, yeah.
And so then it was like, here's my question. Because it's your birthday. It's your day.
It's my day.
Is the planning around the ultimate pleasure? Or is the ultimate pleasure like part of the day in a way where you're like, well, ultimate pleasure, I'll have some cereal. Then I'll build a Lego Millennium Falcon.
For me, it's planned.
Okay.
But any other plans that come my way, like I got, is there someone will be like, hey, dude, do I go off your birthday? I'm like, yeah, quick, I got to move. Ultimate pleasure. But they don't know that's happening.
I'm all UP in the morning.
Maybe a week before, but it's around the birthday.
So you get the headset.
Get the headset.
You have the fleshlight.
I got the fleshlight.
And you got the bins.
And I got the bins.
And the idea.
So.
Just comes to you where you go, add them all together. What do you got?
So let me tell you what happened. I had the VR and I was like, let me see what the porn's like. And I looked at it and I went, stop it right now. Do not watch this.
It's too good.
You will wait till your birthday.
It was so good.
It was so good that I went, you wait. This is a birthday present for yourself.
You know, so many people talk about VR porn that it's so incredible that they talk about it like it's heroin, where they go like, watch out.
Yeah.
Because it's too good.
It's a hair away from real. And so I wanted to get that hair. I wanted
a lot more than a hair away from real.
I wanted to split that hair.
Okay.
With a fucking.
On the UP.
With a microwaved fleshlight.
You microwave.
You gotta warm her up.
That is in. Doesn't the rubber
Why
belt.
Why am I telling you this?
I don't know, but I'll tell you what.
Rubber belt.
Banger of an episode. hit those sponsors right now.
So I'm like, all
right. Do a mid-roll right now. And then we're going to double. Mountain Dew better come through right now. This is our first Mountain Dew moment. Mountain Dew's going to sponsor the podcast. And what a better way to cool off. Do the do. After he does his ultimate pleasure, do the do.
Ultimate pleasure. That's a great X Games. Well, that's the name of the episode. Ultimate pleasure is in. Yeah. We're jocking off to the extreme.
Yeah. Wow. Have you ever jerked off? Extreme.
We put the X back in sex with yourself.
Do the do. After you do the action figure bin, do the do.
Do the do.
So you warm it up like an ice cream cookie.
Yeah, not hot. And the best way, let me tell you this, don't just microwave it. I was joking about that. You'll burn your fucking penis.
Yeah.
You just got to run some hot water through that thing.
Okay.
Just get it a little warm, you know. Yeah. Cold feels like a dead person. And I'm not trying to, that's 60-year-old ultimate pleasure.
Yeah, you're not necrophiliac yet.
I haven't broken that one yet. So I my birthday's June. I probably saw the VR porn in like around December, you know.
Oh, damn, you waited on it 6 months.
I didn't wait. I planned.
Oh,
I planned.
Like a heist.
Yeah. I took my moments. All right, I was like, okay, I'm going to do this. I'm like, do I just want to jerk off? I go, you know what? You got the fleshlight you're always scared of. Maybe it's time for that, right?
So then you started getting accustomed to the fleshlight.
So I know I didn't do the fleshlight yet. I was just like, oh, I've done the fleshlight. Well, yeah, I did the fleshlight. What are we talking about? I don't know. First story is a story, but
leading
let's be
real. up to the ultimate pleasure.
But I went, but I got to get this thing. How do I get this thing level? Right. So I was like, well, do I put some books on top of it? No. Yeah,
the schematics.
You got to get the schematics. And the only thing that was heavy enough was action figure bins.
And did it click? Was that your eureka moment? Where you went, the bins.
Bing! Fleshlight above my head.
Hello. They can hold with force.
And they're also in my office, which was the room. It was an alone room.
Yeah, that's the ultimate pleasure dojo.
Yeah. And so I was like, all right, man, like this is how we're... we set it up. On my birthday, my wife, she knows. You go, Tita, you know what I got to get into?
I got ultimate pleasure.
Christopher Columbus this?
I'll go take a walk.
So I have a couple... Let me tell you that there is one that involved my wife once. I was doing it was year, I want to say 06. I don't know what year it was.
You've been together with her a very long time.
Yeah. But no, it wasn't that year. It was ultimate pleasure year was when I was going to try to, this is getting really filthy. It was a thing in the butt year where I was like,
great.
I'm going to try this year.
Great.
This is what I'm going to do.
Your butt or her butt?
My butt.
Okay.
And I
did not see that coming.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. Sorry.
Yeah. No, it's all right.
The ultimate pleasure only involves myself.
Great.
My wife wants nothing to do with this. Great.
So you wanted to get a digit up your butt.
It's usually porn. Yeah. It's usually a new type of porn or like something or like whatever. It's like, oh, try to watch this kind of porn. Sure. It started off slow. But what the thing was, I grew up in a very, we grew up at the same time.
Yeah.
Homophobia was very much like, if you try this, you are gay.
Very much.
And I was like, all right, well, I know I'm not gay.
Sure.
But why wouldn't I do this? You should try.
It's the whole ethos of the ultimate pleasure.
Right.
Is to push the boundary.
You got
to
push the boundary. And this was the
it's an exploratory mission.
Yes.
So fact finding.
Let me try it this year. I remember I said, okay, I'm going to try it this year.
So six?
It's like 2018, 19, something like that. Maybe Obama. Yeah, I think it's probably when Obama was around. If it was 08, 2010, because that was when we were really feeling progressive.
2010, nice.
Yeah, I was like, you know, I gotta be an ally.
If you voted for a black president,
yeah,
shove a finger in your ass.
Whatever year gay marriage went in, that was when I did it.
I don't remember. When
so whatever year that was, I'm not good with time. So I'm like, all right, I'm gonna try this.
It's hilarious that gay marriage gets approved by the Supreme Court, and then Greg's like, I'm gonna get a finger in my ass on my birthday this year.
I gotta do my part.
2015.
So that'll be the year.
Great.
So I go, let me try this.
We were hanging out a lot back in 2015.
Oh, yeah.
You were coming over a lot. I had no idea that this demon seat. And our birthdays are very close together. In fact, I believe, I could be wrong, I believe that was the year that Michelle Wolf rented a boat.
Yeah.
And we all went on it. And then you and I ate edibles and listened to Yacht Rock with the windows open.
Wow.
Which was one of the most peaceful afternoons I've ever had in my life because you had never listened to Yacht Rock. And we ate these little gummy.
Well, listen to Yacht Rock.
I didn't know you were going in and shoving shit in your ass.
I didn't know the genre. I didn't know that was a genre, but it was all music I loved.
Sure.
I didn't know the compilation of it.
Yeah.
And we had a day.
Oh, my God. The sun, it was a late
sun. I remember that.
I mean, it was My sectional couch was big. We were both on either ends of it, eating edibles and getting like slowly stoned while I had my little Beats pill. Mm-hmm. And we listened to, Doobie Brothers, Baker Street.
It was Baker Street.
Jerry Rafferty.
And that, I watched you riff for 40 minutes straight on Baker Street, and I was so high I couldn't move, and I was dying.
And by riff, he means babbling.
No,
I was on a good 30 milligrams of edibles, just being like. Nah, blah, blah, blah,
blah, blah. But there's sometimes when I'm high where it's nice to just be like, you know what, Greg? Sit down and let your friend be your friend.
Yeah.
Watch this and enjoy. And I remember being like, whoa, all right. And I laughed and I went, wow, that was like, it's cool having comedians as friends.
It is fun. You know,
because my dad doing that, not as fun. Well, my dad's very funny. Yeah. You get what I'm saying.
Yeah.
Anyway, back to 2015.
Yeah.
I'm in the room and I go, let me try this, right? I get it in there. And the minute it went in, I had this pain in my side that was 10 out of 10, crippling pain. I fell to the ground and I have to remember, I'm butt naked. I went full ultimate pleasure. I'm butt naked. I've got everything around. I've got three computers open up and like the Batcave,
yeah,
like the movie Sliver.
Yeah.
I've got movies everywhere, right? So I'm like, I fall to the ground and I remember I looked to the sky and I said, dear God, not like this.
That's so funny.
And I military crawled because I remember going, if I'm going to die naked, I'll do it in the bathtub.
Was there lube on your finger?
Yeah, you know, so there's stories coming. And it wasn't a finger. It was a dildo. It was a small little one. It was a small little one.
You're a fucking freak, dude.
I tried for it.
Freak.
I'm not a freak. I'm an adventurer.
Yeah.
All the countries have been found.
Sure.
There's only one new frontier.
Exploring your butthole. Exploring your butthole. Exactly.
I military crawl to the bathroom.
Still in you?
I shot it out. Boop.
No. Okay. I didn't know if the bullet was still in you.
To be honest with you, I don't even remember if he went all the way in, but I went to the ground. I didn't know what the fuck happened. My wife comes home and she's like, are you all right? And I'm like, I don't know. She goes, what's going on? And I was like, I think I have a kidney stone. And she went, why are you naked? And I was like, ultimate pleasure. She was like, okay, we'll get to this later.
I was UPing. What do you want?
Yeah, you know, she kind of knew.
You know what it is. Baby, you know what this is.
I swear to God, she looked at me and went, ultimate pleasure. I was like, ultimate pleasure. She's like, let's get you to the hospital. I had a kidney stone attack at the fucking moment I did this. I don't know.
That was
know.
God telling you not to do that.
I think that was God saying gay isn't right.
No. No. I think that was God telling you not to shove things up your ass. Gay guys prep for it. They know how to. It's like we all can't go to space.
No.
Astronauts train to go to space.
Right.
Gay guys train for that. You know, you got to get in the fucking thing.
I didn't train.
You didn't train, dude.
I just shot myself off in a $40 rocket into a backyard.
You know when they take regular people on jets and they pass out when they hit a G-force? You know, they're going.
That was me.
That was you.
Yeah, that was me. Actually, when I tried
you had kidney stones.
I've had multiple kidney stones.
And that was the first time you felt
it? No, it was the second time, but it was the worst time.
How did they get the kidney stones out of you?
You pee them out. No, I will say this, though. For me, the peeing out has never really been the worst part. They break up pretty good, and they go out.
They give you medicine to break it up, right?
Medicine. And the medicine they give you... Oh, yeah. But I'm saying the medicine they gave me for pain was the highest I've ever been in my life. I started hitting on the fucking not the waitress. What are the hospital waitresses called?
Yeah, basically nurses.
Yeah, the nurses.
You can call them health waitresses.
You know, the health waitress.
You're a health waitress? Yeah. I'm a fucking, dude, I have a degree. How do you go get my nursing degree, you dickhead? I'm not working a double. But they do work doubles and shit, so I don't know.
Yeah, yeah.
Health nurse, health waitress might be the way to call them.
Health waitress, I hit on her. I tipped the doctor. I was so fucking high. Just
giving a doctor $20 and you go.
It's nothing.
You work hard.
You know what I mean?
I make a good salary.
It's a little something. It's just a little
come
something.
Come on.
It's $5.
Tip the pharmacist of anything. Yeah. That's the guy you tip. You go, I only make those 16 pills, 32 pills.
Don't dad, help me out, brother.
Yeah, so they give you, you know what pain pill they give?
It was Dilaudid. Dilaudid. It was a drip, and it sent me into fucking outer space.
Oh, my God. When you're given that kind of pain medication, you understand drug addiction.
Yep. I went, I'll have a kidney stone again.
I got an endoscopy once,
because
because I was having stomach problems. So they wanted to go through my esophagus, and they gave me an endoscopy, so they put me under. So, and I woke up, and there was a nurse there, and I just woke up immediately and went, what was that? And she goes, that was the stuff that killed Michael Jackson. And I went, yeah. Because I asked for more. I'm like, can I get more of that?
Yeah.
And then we were talking. She's like, you're an addict, aren't you? And I was like, oh, yeah. She goes, yeah. I could tell when you came out. And I was like, that's fantastic. What is that?
You woke up like, ah, more, please.
Yeah, I'll do that again. Run it back.
Right.
Fuck, you can put tubes all in me. Check my butt, my pee hole, my ears, my nose. I don't give a fuck. Give me whatever that was.
Yeah.
So they break up your kidney stones. So that had to be the worst ultimate pleasure.
That was the worst. Of course it was the worst.
Was the best when you put the three together? When you put the premise, setup, and punchline together of the VR action figure bin and the...
The best was the action figure bin VR. That was the best.
Yeah.
I had the same reaction that you had to coming out of drugs.
Yeah.
I went, we're going to do this every day. Yeah. I'm going to do this every day. I no longer need a wife. I no longer need a little... I don't even need anything. I need $20 a month for this website.
Yeah.
The VR website. And then I'm going to be... This is what I do now.
It was that good.
It was unbelievable.
So you like took your VR off like a helmet when you ride a bike, a motorcycle fast, and they go, that was incredible.
Yeah.
You're like, I'll do that again. You're holding it on the side.
Can I tell you the weirdest?
I mean, you've told us so much weird shit, Greg. I don't think I know. You can get weirder.
I hate it. I don't hate it. I am what I am. You do what you do. You try things.
God bless. I hope that helps someone that's watching this.
But
be who you are. Just don't hurt anybody.
Exactly. But I also look at this stuff as fear. And my whole thing about comedy is if you're scared to talk about it, you got to talk about it.
Yeah, there's a feeling related.
So whenever I have fear of something, I have to conquer it. And so with VR, so the next year, Ultimate Pleasure, I had VR and I was like looking at different porn categories and one said POV woman. And I went.
Oh, no. Jay and I have looked this up on the bonfire.
Really?
You tried to be the POV of a woman getting railed.
I went. What is this? My body went, no! And I went, if you're scared, you must travel further into the forest.
Now, can I argue
that
sometimes your body is right and it's good to listen to that?
Cut to the end of the story. Yeah, my body was right in this situation.
Who'd you get slammed by? But
I faced it. So it started slow, right? I put on the things. I looked down. I have these great tits. I have thigh highs on. I'm like, hey, I'm all right. This is not bad.
Were you like slapping your leg? You're like, look at this.
And then
I'm a hot lady.
And then he came in.
Who was it? Do you know? Can you name the man that
some
did it?
Some dirty Puerto Rican.
Don't do that.
I'm just kidding.
Could have been Manuel Ferreira. Could have been a guy that's been in the business forever.
I was trying to be edgy. I apologize. Yeah. I love my Puerto Rican friends. Oh, God. Anyway.
No, it's all right.
So I'm like, he comes. He's some Spanish dude. He pulls his penis out. And I sort of got my body. I was like, no, my body's trying to run. No. And I was like, no, you will see this.
You raped yourself? You like, sit there and take this.
You will see what this is like. If you made your wife suck your dick, then you got to see what a dick looks like up close.
Sally from finance loves fly fishing. She used to spend her weekend surrounded by receipts. Then she switched her company to Ramp. Now, spend is all under control, all in one place. Her team submits their expenses with a text, and she can close the books without all the busy work. So Sally's weekends are all her own, surrounded by fish, not receipts. Switch your business to ramp.com and love finance again.
Yeah, I mean, Jay and I watched these on the bonfire, but we weren't.
You didn't do it in VR.
Yeah, no, that's like in, dude.
You didn't do it.
You weren't there, man.
Dude,
you were fucking there.
Yeah, you watched a documentary. Oh, I was in the shit.
You marched, but you weren't in the shit.
Yeah, he pulls his penis out, and it's there. And I go, all right, here we go. And he's going like this. And I'm like, this is happening. This is fucking crazy.
How long did you last in that rodeo?
No, I didn't. Here's the thing. It didn't make me hard. I couldn't.
Plus,
but I had to
finding stuff out.
I had to see what it was like to have that experience. I was like, this is what it's like for a woman to have sex with a man. It's not really turning me on.
Sure.
But it's kind of like.
It was interesting.
It's not a thing I would ever see.
Yeah.
And I'm okay with being in situations that aren't going to kill me to just see what it's like.
Just you come out of it with more knowledge.
Yeah. And now I'm like, now with my wife, if she's ever like, you don't know what it's like to suck a dick. I go, I do. I've been there.
I had thigh highs on.
I did this with my tongue.
Just you in VR? This guy's really fucking my face.
Yeah, I mean, like, I know it's like, I know that people are going to listen to this and go, I know it sounds crazy, but there's something about, like,
I like to think of it to people that, I'm sorry to cut you off. Go ahead. I like to think of it to people that listen to this that understand what you're saying.
I hope they do. I don't know what, because I think the easy thing is go, ah, he's just gay. I wish. I'm not gay. I also don't, a lot of stuff doesn't even turn me on. I just want to know. I want to be able to relate with everyone. Same thing with music. That's why I don't turn off music. I go, I want all of the experiences.
Did you watch a lot of those like Faces of Death videos? No, and
that I can't do. But go on. Because this
it
is,
just seems like it's in the same neighborhood.
So I worked in an ER.
Forgot about that.
And I've seen
people
die.
That's when I met you.
Yeah. I watched people die. And I was with people when they would die. And so like...
Were their families not be there?
I was the one who talked to the families when their families were there. So my job was to... talked when patients died, I would help the doctors, but then I was the one who would talk to the families. I would talk to the families with the doctor and sit with them and get them shit like that. I think this is also why all this comes in. This is why I have such this thing for life. It's like you see that shit and you go, what the fuck? You know, what
yeah.
am I doing?
Yeah. How old were you when you were doing that?
So probably like 20s, 30s. I'm not good with timelines.
Sure. It was 2009, I remember.
Yeah.
08, 09 was when we started hanging out.
So that was happening then. So I started probably like 06, probably to like 2010-ish.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah, it was wild. I had a patient. Go ahead.
No, you go ahead.
Like, it's weird because this gets a fucking thing, but I had a patient one time who was just, we didn't have psych in our hospital. So this patient she wanted to kill herself, and I just sat with her. It was an empty day. I sat with her for 15 hours straight until psych came, and she had Munchausen by proxy, I believe it was just called, where like her mother was trying to kill her, essentially kept making her sick. Yeah. And she got
for the sympathy.
For the sympathy. And she would constantly come in, and we knew about this with the patient, and they kept trying to have shit happen, and she eventually tried to kill herself. And when she tried to kill herself, she came in the hospital, and I sat with her, and we just fucking talked for hours. And then... she was at the point where there was like, you know, and then the psych came, and I think they eventually took her away, and it finally got resolved in a way that she wasn't going back to her mom. But it was like, yeah, I don't know.
Was she downloading all this stuff onto you about what it's like to have a parent that has Munchausen by proxy and like makes you sick and you're like never able to be healthy?
No, we didn't talk about any of that. We just talked. We just talked about
everything. Do you remember what you talked about?
Yeah. No, I mean, we talked about like, you know, boyfriends and she had and comic books and life and being sad. We did talk about like depression and being sad and
sure.
all that stuff. But for me, I'm not a, it's like, I won't get into a place where I have to be like, hey, this is why life is great. Like we have psych, they'll get to you.
Yeah.
For me, it was just about being there with her and letting her talk and laugh at her jokes and try to make her laugh and just being like, I was just a 13-hour friend.
Sure.
That's all I had to do. And like, there's the story. I could sit there and be like, oh yeah, I taught her about why life was good. Yeah. It's like, no, I didn't do any of that. I just sat with her.
I mean, if you had tried Ultimate Pleasure already, you could have been like, well, I kind of know what it's like to have a dick come at you.
Yeah.
And she goes, okay.
Yeah.
Okay. Sort of gaining ground with that.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's terrifying.
Yeah. I mean, it's funny too, because my memory is, I have a bad memory, but it was mostly blocks of memory. I remember I was just sitting on this chair and she was there. And I was like, I remember being like, I'm not going to talk about her trying to kill herself. I'm just going to sit here and just talk to her. And we talked for 13 hours straight. And
damn.
It was just like, and then other patients were coming in and out, but I was like, nah, fuck them today. This is this girl's time.
Meanwhile, some guy's like, yeah, my brother died. I don't know. The guy was chatting it up with someone.
Yeah.
But that is, I mean, that's incredibly traumatic for you too. Because you're sitting there basically holding a hot potato.
Yeah.
You're holding a hot potato for 13 hours.
Yeah.
And the psych ward isn't open or available.
Yeah, yeah.
You're keeping a woman alive for 13 hours.
Yeah, I was. I mean, like, I wasn't keeping her alive. I mean, I wasn't keeping her alive. I was just...
You were definitely stopping her from hurting herself.
she was... I mean, I'm not trying to like downplay everything, but like, she wasn't gonna... She came in. She had did a thing. She kind of was coming out of it. We were waiting on psych, but psych is in another hospital, so we had to get a transfer. They got all this shit done.
Yeah.
And all I did was just try to make her laugh and be there, because I knew her mom is bullshit. Like, who the fuck does she's got?
Yeah.
And, you know, I got her a lot of, you know, phone numbers and shit that would eventually, whatever. But that was, no, it was just like, just fucking listen to this girl about anything she wants to talk about.
Sure.
And we talked a lot about, I think, My Chemical Romance. And it's funny. It's like, you really got to listen to fucking, you're so hacky. Yeah, come on.
That's very funny. That's who you're in there? You roll your eyes. All right.
Okay. I mean, come on.
But that, I mean, that kind of job is itself got a lot of PTSD and wear on your brain, because you're seeing very real shit.
So I have a lot of like normal stories, but then I have a few that are like once in a lifetime stories. And this one, this one I hate, because I don't know if you have this. So actually, this is like a bigger thing. I'm a storyteller in comedy, and I know you are too, but sometimes when you tell the story so many times, the story becomes the bit. And then the memory starts to fade, and then the memory becomes the bit. And then you go, wait, what part of this?
What was the real part?
What was the real thing?
Yeah.
And so I've told this story a lot just to people in life, and sometimes, and who the hell knows, that it's some parts are missing. So I don't know exactly how it goes. But it was a guy comes in, he was 57 years old. He was end stage lung cancer, never smoked a cigarette in his life.
Oy.
Right? Never smoked. We're waiting for hospice. Hospice isn't opening up. They have no bed. So he's in the ER for a few days, and I'm just on this guy every day, coming, having a good time. He had a super dark sense of humor. He would constantly make jokes that were like, I try to remember like one of them. I remember I like bring in the wheelchair, and I was late to bring him. He was getting x-ray for some reason. And he was like, he was like, you're late. I don't got a lot of time left, you know, like you know, these kind of bits. And I'm like, Jesus, man. And
all right.
I didn't know how to handle it at the time. Like, I didn't know how to be funny. I just go, well, okay, sorry. And he was like, you're such a pussy, man.
Please don't die on me right now.
Yeah. He would do that. I would walk in every single time. He'd pretend he was dead. And they'd go, ah! And I'd be like, dude, what are you doing, buddy?
That's fun.
Yeah, he was awesome. He was hilarious. And I don't want to say, okay, so last day. So he goes up to hospice. So I think when he came in, I wasn't sure if he was like on the fence about hospice. And then they were putting him in hospice. And then he goes up to hospice. And a nurse comes down and tells me, she was like, hey, he was talking to how you guys had this really fun relationship. She said, she goes, nobody has come to visit this guy. She was like, if you want, why don't you go up and talk to him? So I'm like, all right, so I'll go up there. So I start talking to him. And I have a question I would always ask people, which is I would go like, hey, what's the thing you're the most proud of?
Yeah.
Right? I always do this. And he would go, people always go, I would hear people say, they would tell me stories about being in World War II. A dude told me one time, he goes, I was a bomber in World War II. He goes, I was talking about how I was scared to do comedy. And he goes, you don't know fear until you've seen the Nazi flag trying to shoot you down.
Jesus.
And I went, okay, I'll go do an open mic.
Yeah.
Yeah.
What's the deal with dating?
Yeah, yeah. And so this story too, I kind of am weird about telling it because everything's become so politicized that shit gets weird, but it's just my story. It is what it is.
Yeah.
So I go, what's the thing you're the most proud of? And he goes, he looks at my face and he goes, I've been attracted to children my whole life and I never did anything. And I went, oh, hilarious. I thought he was joking. And he goes, no, you have no idea. He goes, I'm not joking. He goes, this was a thing. I have this thing I told my mother when I was young. She was helping me get into therapy. She was doing all the thing. My mother dies of cancer. I told my dad he broke my nose and told the whole family. He goes, so I left California.
Oh.
I moved to Patterson, lived by myself. He goes, I pretty much was horrified of my own life. He goes, I locked my computer. I live by myself. And he goes, I am happy to be at the finish line right now. He was like, I made it. And I was like, what the fuck, right? And so.
And you're just like a guy in the hospital.
And I'm just a guy in the hospital. And he is just whatever.
And he's dying. And it for the first time, you've seen all these people die. And for the first time, he goes like, buddy, I've been ready for this. Since the beginning.
Yeah. And he would live like a miserable life. Now, here's the thing, right? So then, a couple things happened. Somehow, I don't remember how, but a nurse found out that he had said this and she lost it. And she's like, fuck this guy. And I was like, no, fuck you. This guy didn't do anything wrong. He's just got a thing.
Yeah.
And then, you know, I It's funny. I used to do this as a bit, like before I was ready to do it as a bit.
Yeah,
you know what I mean.
Yeah, yeah.
And but like reality is like it's like, yo, what are you gonna put on this guy? This guy's tombstone is gonna be like fucking didn't. Here lives Larry. We would love to tell you what he did, but maybe next time. You know, like dot dot dot. He's a hero.
But he didn't do it.
He never did it. He never did it. He never did anything. I talked to some psychologist later who was like, he may have had a lot of different things going on. Like he may have just had this crazy OCD that made him think he was this.
Doesn't sound like it.
I know.
It sounds doesn't. Like his entire life was upended and destroyed because he wanted to fuck kids.
Right.
And he didn't fuck kids.
Right.
Now, this is a hypothetical.
Sure.
He passes.
Yeah.
In the great consciousness,
right.
Do you think God goes, here's a kid?
I did not think you were going there.
Do you think he goes, you know what?
Look.
You waited.
He's an 18.
Cheat day.
Yeah. Well, here's a kid who died in 1940. So technically, he's 60, but he died when he was a kid. So he still got kid body.
Yeah. He got hit by a train. We're going to piece them together. You know. We're going to shut the door. Ultimate pleasure.
Right. Right. And then, but there's also like, also this thing, this is not as funny, but also part of me is that my head goes, man, maybe was he joking? And was this his last gag?
If that is, then that was the funniest man to ever live.
Right.
And if there ever is a comedy award, name it after him.
Right.
If that was a joke. But that is, I don't know if anyone's ever done a bit about it, but it's true. That's like, he's kind of a hero.
He is a hero. He's the hero.
He took himself out.
He took himself.
I eat jelly beans every night. Right. I can't stop that.
But that's the thing, too. You have that on your brain. You wonder why he got lung cancer without smoking a cigarette in his life.
Yeah, God goes, oh, boy. I fucked up. pull it off the line.
We got a lemon.
Meanwhile, there's people that are smoking three packs. They go, I'm walking through this thing. But they go, but I love fucking old people. God just let him stick around.
Yeah,
that's wild.
Yeah, man. It's,
but it also shows you, I think it does show you, and I've always known this about you, how big of a heart you have. You're a very caring person. You're a sensitive person, but you're very caring. You always are very good at, whenever we would hang out, you were always very good at being like, this is awesome because, and it was a sincere, there's a sincerity to you. And I think that guy felt the sincerity of you and he went, I can tell him this and he won't go away.
Right.
He won't break my nose. He won't be the nurse that was like, fuck him. Right. I don't want to give him care. And he was at the end. And he could also tell you the truth of like,
and he could tell me the truth.
I want to die.
But also the truth of being like, he could have been like, and I got three of them, you know, like he didn't. He said he's going to die in the next few days. He was like, I never did it. So I'm like, okay, that actually makes me feel like you're not lying because you have no reason and it doesn't matter.
It is easier that he said none. If he would have said like two, you go like, oh, fuck.
Well, I think if he had done two, I don't think he's telling me this story.
Yeah, he'll.
I don't think anything. I think you just
also don't think he has lung cancer.
Oh, yeah,
just saying he got it out.
Yeah.
Now that is very. What do you do after that? Like your shift?
I jerked off. Not to him.
That started Ultimate Pleasure. What do you go out and get a dinner and like just stare out the window?
Well, man, at first I was like, because for me, when he told me, I remember being like, fuck this guy.
Sure.
Fuck this guy, fuck him. And then sleeping on it and being like, oh, now I didn't say fuck this guy to his face. I just
just were probably like, what the fuck?
Yeah. And I went, fuck this, in my head, I went, fuck this guy, blah, blah, blah. And then I thought about it. And then I Googled a bunch of shit. And then I remember being like, no, he's not a bad person. And I wanted to go talk to him and he had died. So it was like, but I'm happy to say that like in that moment, I was like, we were talking, we were laughing. I just took whatever it was.
Sure.
But I had the feeling of being like, fuck him, he's a pedophile. But then it made me open my mind to be like, no, man, life is fucking nuts.
Yeah.
If this guy didn't do that, I didn't have that thing that we just had.
Sure.
Because I was young. I was like,
yeah. Processing time.
Yeah, I had the process.
So when you Googled it and come back, then you find out he's dead.
Yeah. So I Googled, what I found, one of the things was wild, was there was a hospital case of this guy. I don't know exactly how the story goes. I don't know, it's been a long time. But he was married, had kids. There was a guy who married, had kids, felt like he was attracted to children, tells his wife sends him to the hospital, he gets a CAT scan, turns out he has a fucking tumor in his brain. They cut the tumor out, the feeling goes away.
What a relief.
Right. Then, years later, feeling comes back.
No.
Tumor came back.
That's crazy. That's crazy that that's how you know you have a tumor. Where you go, look at that little ass. You know what? I'm going to go get a CAT scan. And they go, it's back. And you go, fuck, I knew it. I knew it. They go, I was at the pool.
Yeah.
And their little wet bodies did.
But imagine a doctor being like, you have cancer. It gets worse.
Yeah.
Like, who's.
Dude, were your symptoms pedophilia? That's rough.
Right.
That's rough. Some people lose vision or something else. And you're like, oh, yeah, I become a monster.
Right. But my feelings on these people were that their souls were bad. And then my feelings became, no, they're badly wired. Changes nothing. Look, pedophiles can't be on Earth. Fuck them.
Yeah.
Pedophiles can't be on Earth. Get them off Earth. Sorry. However you got to do that. Whatever. But I now understand that, like, man, it's a bad brain.
Yeah.
You know, it's a bad fucking brain this guy's got.
Yeah.
Dude, you hear these stories of, like, a lot of pedophiles are from head injuries, which I don't know how Bell helmets aren't fucking telling people you need to, like, motorcycle helmets should be like, hey, wear a helmet or else.
That's what will stop the NFL. If you have all these former linebackers just being like, I want to fuck a kid. And you're like, oh, listen, you run a 4.3 40. You can collapse on a run quicker than we've ever seen anybody. We think we're done with football.
Right.
What a crazy subject to end the podcast on. But you rule.
You rule, though.
I've always loved you. Greg Stone, his special is out now. What's it called?
Nobody Presents Greg Stone.
Yeah, dude. Nobody Presents Greg Stone. Greg Stone's presenting Stone. Nobody Presents Greg Stone, out on YouTube. The link is below. Click it. Greg's fucking hilarious. One of my favorite people